Welcome to ChatGPT Curious, a podcast for people who are, well, curious about ChatGPT. I'm your host, Dr. Shantae Cofield, also known as the Maestro, and I created this show to explore what ChatGPT actually is.
Really, though, are the files in the computer?
How to use it, and what it might mean for how we think, work, create, and move through life. Whether you're skeptical, intrigued, or already experimenting, you're in the right place. All that I ask is that you stay curious. All right, let's get into it. Hello, 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 my curious people, and welcome to episode 24 of ChatGPT Curious. I am your grateful host, the Maestro, and today we are talking about whether or not it is quote-unquote worth it to pay for ChatGPT. So before we hop in, hope you had a great holiday. Last week was, when is this episode coming out? This episode comes out, I don't even know, but I think this will come out the week after Christmas and Hanukkah time. So I hope you had a great holiday, whatever you celebrate, or a great week if you don't celebrate. And now you're listening to this, and it'll be, if you're listening when it drops, it'll be that in-between time. So I hope you are enjoying the in-between. Actually, what am I saying? This should come out on New Year's Day. This is what happens when you record things in the past, but they go out in the future. I got the two podcasts. One of them comes out on Monday. The other one comes out on Thursday. My dates get a little bit messed up. This should come out on New Year's. So I should say, Happy New Year and happy birthday to me. Look at me forgetting. I don't know. I don't have a calendar in front of me. And so I'm all mixed up. But the reason I want to say all that was just like, I hope you had a great time. Hope you're having a great time right now. Hope you had a great time. It's a new year. I hope nothing but good things for you. So this episode, talking about whether or not it's quote unquote worth it to pay for ChatGPT. And this is a topic that I've kind of avoided making a specific episode about for quite some time now, mainly because I ain't no fucking big AI shill. Like, we know that some of the worst people are leading these companies, especially Sam Altman. Dude is fucking weird. He's a weird guy. And no, I do not for one second think that he has humanity's best interest at heart. So I get it. I get it. People are like, I don't want to pay Sam. I fucking get it. I think that, and I'm like, you know, use a different model. By all means, use a different fucking model. I think for many folks, when they think about this topic of paying for an AI model, it can start to be an internal ethical debate, which I get, right? Again, Sam is the worst, the environmental concerns, which I'm not going to lie, I don't have those environmental concerns. I did a deep dive on this, and that is part of the reason I don't have them. But the other part is that it is our usage is not what's causing the problem. It's not. It is these companies making these massive, and for what it's worth, it's going to be energy, not water, that is the biggest issue. These companies making these, you know, trying to build these massive data centers, which have always existed, right? Data centers have always existed. Data centers are actually very efficient ways of doing this, of doing technology. I'll say it like that. It's that these are so big for no reason and they're putting them in certain areas. And we know that, you know, it comes down to money and people, these fucking politicians in these areas don't know fucking shit. And so they believe like, yeah, we're going to make jobs, we're going to get money. And then they just do it. And like, then their area gets fucked. And it's like, that's not the fucking politician. And yes, one of the reasons, and I said this when I first started this podcast, one of the reasons I started the podcast is to educate people. I want informed consumers. I don't want, you know, paying consumers, they're not paying me. I want people to be informed so that if it does come up where it's like, hey, we're going to vote to put a data center in your area, be like, motherfucking no. And here's why. Like, you have to be educated on the topic. And yes, this does lead into and require participatory democracy, which is like annoying. I get it. You're like, I don't want to vote on this. I don't have to fucking deal with this. I get it. But I also do think that is quite possibly the most remarkable technology of our lifetime. And I'm not willing to miss out on that. I understand the downsides. And one of the quotes that always comes to mind is James Baldwin quote, that the master's tools will never dismantle the master's house. And I believe that, but I also believe that the tools will let you in and then you can fucking dismantle it from the inside out. Like, I did a whole episode on, will ChatGPT get OpenAI'd? Excuse me, that doesn't make any sense. Will ChatGPT get Old Navy and basically undercut by a cheaper model? You don't know about that unless you understand what's going on. if you just take things at face value and don't learn things, then you don't understand, like, hey, maybe I could use a different model. Like, what are my actual needs? Could I run a local model and significantly decrease a lot of things? Like, what do I have access to? You don't know these things if we just are just like, nope, it's bad. So I understand the internal debate and the internal ethical debate, and I appreciate it. But I also feel like it's, I don't want to say misplaced, but it feels weird to me when I don't think people necessarily have that same smoke for other areas in life that are doing far more damage. All right, like, and again, when I did that episode about the environment, I was like, I don't want this to be a whataboutism episode, but that is a big concern to me. It's just like, hey, you know how much water is being used by agriculture? Like, what's used by data centers is like a fraction of that. And yes, we have to eat, but I think that also people don't realize how incredible this technology can be. So it's not really so much if you can't beat them, join them. It's take as much as you can, learn as much as you can so that you can fucking beat them. That's how I look at it. So I get it. And I want to validate it. And I'm not here to convince anyone to use it by any means. And the reason I'm making this episode is because I just had a good conversation with a good friend of mine. And I learned that she's using the free version of chat. And I was like, okay. And then she asked me, like, if I honestly thought it was worth it to pay for chat. And I was like, you know, I get this question so much, I'm just going to make this episode. Like, I have very much intentionally put off making this episode because there is, you know, that little like spiel that I just went through, there is that component to things. But that if we take it and just put it like objectively, this is what I want to discuss for the rest of the episode. Like, objectively, is it worth it? And I will say, you know, this is whether or not it's worth it to me, and outline some of these factors. So right off the bat, I started paying for ChatGPT very early, in like very early 2024. So it wasn't the earliest by any means because this came out in 2022. But I honestly don't remember what it was like before then. I don't remember what it was like because it wasn't as good. You know that when we went to GPT-4, that was like a big change. And that is why I paid largely, if I'm going to guess, like, boom, like there was a difference. But I don't remember what it was like before. So I can't base it off and be like, hey, I wasn't paying, then I did pay, and then it was a lot better. I don't fucking know about that. All I can say with full certainty is that right now, in this moment in time, for me, it is absolutely 100% worth it to pay $20 a month for this thing, right? Worth it will always be a subjective thing that is largely dependent on what matters to you. And I've covered this a bunch on my other podcast, Maestro on the Mic, because we talk about it from the online business perspective, and people are like, is it worth it for me to do X or to do Y or to try Y or to buy whatever it is? And it's subjective. I cannot say for you. I can only say for me. Right? What I can do is outline the things that make up this offer. Right? Worth it will always be a subjective thing, and that is largely dependent on what matters to you. So all I can do is list the things that it has, the components, what it does, and then you decide, does that matter to me? Do I care about it? Right? So that is what I'm going to do here. I'm going to keep it as objective as possible, and I'm going to outline the differences between the free tier and the plus tier. All right, the free tier is obviously free. The next level up would be the plus tier, and that's $20 a month. And then they do have a pro tier, which is $200 a month. Immediately fucking no. I can already tell you it's not worth it. Right, my friend Kay did a trial of it, or I don't want to say a trial because it wasn't free. He tried it for a bit and he wrote about it, and I was absolutely not convinced it was worth it. And kind of his use case was like, I'm going to pay this much, it's going to force me to use it and learn. And I don't even think he's still doing that. One of the things that you're going to find is that if you get more into using LLMs and really into doing all the things, you will probably have multiple models. You will not just use one. You'll have your daily driver, and then you'll have ones that you use for other things. So I use ChatGPT for everything. I have access to Gemini Pro, which I haven't really leaned into, but I do have access to it because of Google Workspaces. I will likely start paying for Claude for their coding component of things because I've gotten really, really into that. And so now I pay for an AI, a coding assistant. Basically, it's called Cursor, and you can use different models through that. But I pay $20 a month for that. For now, we'll see if I'll pay more for that. So you'll see if you really get into this stuff, you'll start paying for multiple, you know, different models. But $200 a month for one, that's going to be no for me. All right. And Kay's research, that did not convince me either. So we are, and I guess it's worth saying that there is a $25 a month model that's for business. I don't really know what that is. I'm guessing it's like if you have multiple people, something like that. But we're talking about, for this episode, the free model and comparing it to the plus tier, or I should say the free tier and comparing it to the plus tier, which is $20 a month. So the free tier gets you limited access to reasoning, limited messages and uploads, limited and slower image generation, limited deep research, limited memory and context, projects, and that's it. And I pulled this right from OpenAI's website. The plus tier, which is $20 a month, gets you everything in free and advanced reasoning with GPT 5.2 thinking. That's their, wow, I hit the mic, sorry about that. That's their newest model. Expanded messaging and uploads, expanded and faster image generation, expanded deep research and agent mode, expanded memory and context, projects, tasks, and custom GPTs, limited access to Sora 1 video generation, and Codex Agent. What all that actually means and what actually matters to you, in my opinion, based on what I'm guessing you're using this for, right, the things that the paid tier, I almost said the paid because that's plus and paid, the paid tier, the plus tier has that would actually matter to you, I think would be four things, right? First is access to better models, right? This is especially helpful for more complex or research-oriented queries that some of you may have. Second thing, expanded messaging and uploads. Throttle me not, bitches, right? According to ChatGPT, the ChatGPT urine review, did you folks do that, right? They're trying to be like Spotify, of course. Just trying to stay relevant. But either way, according to my ChatGPT urine review, I am a top 1% user, which I'm not surprised. I mean, I talk to this fucking thing all the time. That alone makes it worth it to me to pay the $20 a month. When I was playing around with Gemini a few weeks ago, I actually hit the cap within, I don't know, like an hour or two of when I first started using it. And I was like, well, I guess I'm done. But that's actually how I discovered that if you have a Google Workspace, you have access to the pro model, which has the extended limits. But I use it a lot. Right? I work with, when I was, you know, practicing or playing around with Gemini, I was doing it for coding. And when you're doing anything with coding and like I was coding a web page, like that burns through tokens. Like there's this very big, long outputs. It's not like a very simple, you know, quick little thing. So I need the expanded limits. I am not trying to deal with usage caps. I believe there might be some sort of workaround, but you still have to like wait and ask how long. I don't know. Or you can ask in the beginning, maybe like how much. I don't know. When we were on the webinar I ran the other week, a few weeks ago, one of the people on there, maybe it was Danielle, that person said, you know, here's the workaround and you can ask. And I was like, oh, that's super helpful. I don't remember it because I pay for it. So I didn't log that into my memory. So something to be, you know, take that for what it's worth. I am not sure of what the limit is, but I have yet to hit it when I'm talking to it. It has yet to been like, we're doing too much. We have to stop. Come back tomorrow. However, a friend of mine, Beth, she did text and reached out and said that she got throttled, but it was for image generation. But I really don't do much of that with chat at all. So I don't think I'd ever hit that. But if you're trying to use it for that, that's a real thing. Actually, I didn't write this in my notes, but this is a good point. Chat is like not good at images. Like it's not like, it's just not good at that. But Gemini, their nano banana model is. So this is where we start to see like, how are you using this thing? Maybe it makes sense to use a different model, like a completely different LLM for the task that you have, right? Okay, so that was two things that I think make sense for you or that you might care about, right? Which is access to better models and then expanded messaging and uploads. The next one, expanded memory and context. memory for the plus tier, the paid tier, it's stronger, it's deeper. It gives, it keeps more context for longer. It uses a broader set of saved details, and that's going to influence the answers that it gives you. Right, the responses it gives you can feel more personalized, more consistent across sessions. But more than anything, it remembers stuff better. Like, we can just say that and be like, okay, that is something that's important. Like, think about working with an assistant or anyone ever. You're like, fucking remember. The best example, or maybe just in my mind, one of the best examples, when you go out to eat and you have that waiter that like is trying to be cool and like kneels down next to the table, never standing, kneels down and takes your order, but doesn't write it down. And you're like, do you remember? Like, are you gonna fuck up? Because I did not want any seeds on that. I personally do not like seeds. So please make sure that there's no poppy seeds. You didn't write it down, and now I'm fucking nervous. So yeah, it's great if they do remember it, but like, they're nervous. So with these models, having it remember stuff, that's super helpful. I know that any of you listening to this, you've yelled at ChatGPT, but like, motherfucker, I just said this. Don't you remember? We were just talking about this before. It would be more helpful if it remember things. So you get better memory with the paid tier. Okay. Lastly would be projects, tasks, and custom GPT. So it does say on that like little home, the little pay, what is it called? The pricing sheet. It does say that projects are available on the free tier, but you are limited to 5 file uploads and you don't have as good of memory. Right? With the plus tier, you have better memory because that's part of that tier. And you can upload up to 25 files per project, which we know, we have to understand, can absolutely, absolutely and ultimately improve the quality and the complexity of the project. You get better outputs. It'll do better things. So that, to me, worth it. Tasks. Tasks are apparently only available on the plus tier. I have spoken about tasks in a past episode. Tasks is basically where you have chat do something for you. It can look things up, and then it reports back to you, like on a schedule. So I personally, I've had it look for Nest Cam sales. I had it look for DeWalt battery sales, which it actually found some, and I used them. I was like, this is good. I want to use this fucking sale. That's great. I have it look for SSD sales. Nothing, didn't find any good things there. But you define the task, and chat runs independently on whatever schedule you set, and then it sends you an email. It sends an email to whatever email you use to sign up for ChatGPT. Sends an email. Like, it's fucking dope. Is it like worth it to pay $20? No, but it's a cool feature. If you're already paying $20, you're like, all right, cool, I'll use that. And then lastly, custom GPTs. I am a big fan of these. Like, obviously my favorite feature is projects. And so to me, I kind of like gloss over that. But to me, making sure that we're optimizing that is worth the $20. But custom GPTs, a big fan. And for those that you don't know, custom GPTs are basically a dope ass way to clone yourself and then give other folks access to it. Right? You can quote unquote train the GPT and then give them a link to that GPT, and they can ask it questions and it will give answers as if it's you, because you trained it on the material and how you want it to respond. Like, I really, really like them for that use case. And I am thinking about setting up a service where I will make custom GPTs for people, because I like doing it and I'm good at it. So if that's interesting to you and you're like, hey, maybe I'd want you to make one for me, reach out. Send me a text, 310-737-2345. Shoot me an email if you must. Shoot me an email. Easiest one is probably maestro@chatgptcurious.com or info@themovementmaestro.com. Literally anything. I'll find it. Or you can send me a DM at @themovementmaestro. But if you're interested, like I am, I'm definitely thinking about offering this as a service because I really like it. But I covered this in episode 11, like what custom GPTs are. So I will link that in the show notes. But those are the, in my opinion, the features that I think that you folks listening to this would actually care about, right? And so when we look at those categories, access to better model, basically unlimited messaging, better memory, and access to projects, tasks, and custom GPTs, it is 11 billion% worth it for me to pay. The question is, do you care about any of those things, right? If no, then it's not worth it for you to pay. Right, the super casual user that's asking it for dinner recipe every now and then and, you know, a health question every now and then, it's probably not worth it to pay. Flip side, if you're listening to this podcast, it's honestly probably worth it. Like, the fact you're listening to a podcast about ChatGPT, like, you're probably doing some shit with it, and it's probably worth it. I actually asked in one of the very early episodes to let me know if you were using the paid tier or of chat, and I think maybe one to two people got back to me. I feel like Kate and Allie got back to me, and I was like, y'all are best. But I would love to know, are you paying for chat? And if you got back to me, I don't remember, I'm so sorry. I really am. But are you paying for chat? I genuinely want to know. No judgment, and I'm not going to fucking try and convince you to pay. Like, I just want to know. I can think of two people off the top of my head who I know listen to this podcast, and they've recently started paying, and both have told me that for them, it has been worth it, and it has been better, and they're getting better responses with the paid tier. But I was honestly surprised that these two people, when they told me they weren't paying, I was like, what? Well, mainly because I'm like, I know how you use it, or I thought I knew how you use it, and they could definitely benefit from the better memory and the better projects. And I was wondering how they were not hitting the chat limits. And they're like, oh, no, we are. And I was like, I could never. Like, what? But they were making it work. And again, I am not here to tell anyone, and I will not tell anyone, that they should be paying for chat. Immediately no, right? If you're using it for free and it's serving you well, keep on keeping on. I've never really been one of the people, you know, type of person that's like got a lot of FOMO or is like, am I missing something? Like, that's not me. To me, you know, if that's you and you're wondering, am I missing something? Just spend the $20 and see for yourself and answer the question. Scratch the itch. If you pay and you get chat, you know, the plus, ChatGPT Plus, and you don't notice any difference, just downgrade. And it's like, all right, pay $20 and done. Right? I will say the majority of people using ChatGPT are on the free tier. And honestly, I do not know what OpenAI is going to do about this. Not that they need to do something about it, but they definitely aren't making any money from the users. And I'm not sure how long they'll be able to play the, you know, we have the most users card and continue to get the funding they're getting. Like, they're either going to have to throw ads in front of us or, I mean, I think that becomes the main way of monetizing it, is that they'll throw ads and then you could pay to not have ads, like, is my guess. But I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I know that, you know, obviously they have their own browser with Atlas and it would make it easier with ads. I don't know, but I can't see that it's staying free forever and being, you know, as good as it is. Without them doing something to change. Might they roll out an even cheaper tier like they have in, I think it's called like ChatGPT Go or something. I don't know. They had this in like 80 something countries last I had checked. Might they roll that out? Maybe. I don't know. But also, I don't want this to become an economics episode, even though I love talking about this stuff. So I'm gonna leave it at that. But I will say that a few weeks ago, following the release of Gemini 3, Sam Altman declared a code red, which is basically short for, oh shit, they've caught up. We gotta do something. And so he instructed the company to focus on memory and personalization, right? They're trying to stay relevant. They're trying to stand out. And that's kind of like all you can do when you're going to the general public. You know, Claude, Anthropic, they're smart. They're really looking at, they focus on enterprise and they're really doubling down on coding. That's what they care about. ChatGPT is trying to be the jack of all trades, which I have told you folks a million times, or if you listen to my other podcast, I've told you a million times, niche down, baby, niche down. But we'll see. Right, that's all they can kind of do at this point. Focus on memory, focus on personalization, try to get people to stay so they can continue to say that we have the most users. So all that being said, maybe hold on to that free tier and see what gets thrown your way with the updates that roll out. We're already on version 5.2. ChatGPT 5 just rolled out and we're already on 5.2. They've been making changes real quick. And there are some new features in the personalization section already. So maybe it becomes really good in that free tier and you don't have to upgrade, right? But circling back to the original question, is it worth it to pay for ChatGPT? It is 100% worth it to me. But the answer to that question is 100% subjective and the ball is fully in your court. All right, last things last, how I use ChatGPT this week. Each week, if you don't know, I include a section where I briefly discuss how I use ChatGPT that week. And currently, folks, I am using Chat big time. God bless not having the limits on it. I'm using ChatGPT big time to learn about computer science and coding. I actually built a website for my brother. I built websites before using WordPress. This I built from scratch. Like, it's all coding, and Cursor did it for me, and I was asking ChatGPT about the different components of things and when I had to debug things and understanding the difference or the relationship between HTML, CSS, JavaScript, React, Next.js, PHP files, which is not how I did this. PHP files, if you're familiar, that's a WordPress thing. I was just trying to learn all the things, and that is my task for the next year at least. But I use ChatGPT a ton. And just circling back, built the website for my brother. We'll see if he uses it, but I need the practice anyway. But I cannot express how amazing I think ChatGPT and all LLMs are for learning. They never get annoyed with you, ever. You can ask them literally as many questions as you want. You can ask them to explain things as many times as you want, in as many different ways. You can always just be like, hey, wait, so here's what I'm saying. Here's what I think. Now, you can just use natural language. You can talk with it. Right, I use this thing called Whisperflow a lot now. My friend Kay put me onto it, and I'm like, I love this thing. Just it's an AI mediated or AI assisted. Voice note thing. I don't know. You talk and it transcribes. I'm losing my words, but I use it a ton, and so I will just speak in that way, and just use natural language and chat. Will respond, and I can go back and forth as much as I want. You can ask Alexa. I've been going back and forth a ton. I've been just in my office just working for hours and hours and learning for hours and hours, and I think it's amazing. I think that this technology is absolutely amazing. I think that what it can do for just democratizing so much. So the reason I brought the website is that it's free, right? I built it using a framework called Next.js. That's free. It's a free framework. And they have a free course on their website about Next and React. React is like a JavaScript library. But if you want to learn about it, they have free courses on the website. So that's free. And then I deployed it using a system, I'll call it, called Vercel. And it's all free. Like, when else can you be like, I had an idea for a website and I built it and deployed it for free? And there's no cost. The only time that you're going to incur a cost would be if I'm trying to take this thing and I want like a custom domain. So you have to pay for that. But you can go to Namecheap and get a domain for like $12 a year. This is amazing to me. Like, yes, I will say the thing that I ended up paying for was Cursor, because I was using it a lot to I had questions about it making it. Cursor makes the code. And so it has an AI agent, and you can basically use any of the major models, and you just have like a limited number. And so I started on the free tier, and I did hit it towards the end. And so I just upgraded to $20 a month. So you could do it for 1 month and then just be done with it. But like, there's a website now that lives, that exists, and it's free. Like, I don't know if you folks understand that. You can conceptualize that. That is a really big deal, in my opinion, for leveling the playing field for people or nonprofits, like where they just hosting costs add up, and like having these just like very big, we'll call them CMEs, like these very big, like Squarespace and WordPress, right? WordPress can be cheaper depending on how you build it. But if you do if you buy themes for it, like that can be expensive. It could be a couple $100 a year. I just bought one for the ChatGPT Curious website, and I paid for lifetime, and it was like $500. Right, this thing is free. Like, this is amazing to me. Yes, you need tech tenacity, but like, you can use natural language and just be like, "How do I do this? I want to build a website for free. How can I do that?" And it will tell you, and then it will generate code. One of the arguments, and like, I'll probably do another episode about this because I see this episode's getting a little long, but like, there's a lot of talk right now, a lot of people shitting on the code that AI makes. And like, obviously it can sometimes give you too much code, and the more code you have, the more surface area, and that's the more surface area for bugs. But like, when you're just making a fucking basic website, static website, like, it's not that big of a fucking deal. Like, this is amazing to me. It also feels kind of cool and like hackery, because you're kind of working in the terminal for some of it. You can have like the black background if you want for things. And like, a lot of code is generated. Like, my eyes. I'm like, my eyes gonna be okay with this? But I am amazed and just incredibly impressed by this technology. And like I've said before, one of the reasons I stay so stoked on it is what I think it can do, the opportunity that it can open up. Right? Like, I'm just like, it's amazing to me. Like, you don't have to be a fucking millionaire. You don't have to be a 100,000-aire, a 1,000-aire to succeed or to be able to do these things and build these things. Like, that is amazing to me. And I want people to take advantage of it. So that's how I used it this week. And that is all for today. Got a little riled up there. Hopefully you found this episode helpful. If you did, how about maybe consider sharing it with someone who has asked you if it's worth it to pay for ChatGPT. We'll make this meta. Right? Don't forget, I do have a companion newsletter, The Curious Companion, that drops every Thursday, that is basically the podcast episode in text format. So if you prefer to read, or if you just want a written record, join the newsletter fam. You can head to chatgptcurious.com/newsletter or check out the link in the show notes. As always, endlessly, endlessly, one more time, endlessly appreciative for every single one of you. Happy New Year, happy birthday to me, and until we chat again next Thursday, stay curious.